It's time for light that darkness can't defeat. It's time to escape from the shadow of death and into abundant life. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Welcome to the Great Light Program with David Oyedepo Jr. Get set to arise and shine, because your light has come.
Walking by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7 has been our anchor scripture. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And we saw from the start of this seminar that it is our assignment as believers to operate by faith. We saw that everything about who you are is triggered by faith. We saw that inside every child of God is God's richest deposit. We saw that the saint is God's wealth. Ephesians 1 verse 17 down to verse 19, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Not for, but in. So inside every believer is God's richest deposit. In fact, the Bible puts it this way, Luke chapter 17 verse 21, the kingdom of God is inside you. Everything within the kingdom is loaded inside you. The kingdom of God is inside you. So every child of God is a treasure chest. Amen. Inside of you are deposits from heaven that are God's wealth, as it were. The deposit of heaven inside of you is unfathomable. It's inexhaustible. I'm not talking about material resources. I mean the treasure of God himself. And in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, the Bible said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, but this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So according to the scripture, what you are born to be is greater than what can resist you in the world. But for what is in you to find expression, faith is a necessity. So it means that your potential is at the mercy of your faith. Your potential is at the mercy of your faith. And I'd like you to understand tonight that the world is waiting for your potential. Put it this way, your relevance is at the mercy of the expression of your potential. The only way to matter to your generation is for God's deposit in you to be reflected to your generation. But the only way for what God has deposited in you to reflect to your generation is by the force of faith. That is why we have said that without faith, you don't have a future. Your future is determined by your faith, not the economy. Your future is determined by faith, not your opposition. Your future is determined by faith, not whether men like you or not. I've said many times that you don't have to like me. But when I need you to like me, you must like me. For that period. You can be angry later, but for that time. Are you listening to me? Why? Because your life is not at the mercy of a human opinion. Your life is at the mercy of your faith. So your destiny is actually dependent on you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Your destiny is actually dependent on you. The Bible made it clear, we saw it, that the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. That is, the world is waiting for the sons of God to reveal who they are by revealing what is in them. So you won't matter until the details of God's deposit in you begin to find expression. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is so important. But it's also important for us to know that faith requires details. The tenacity of faith is determined by the level of details that are available to you. Your capacity to believe is determined by the level of details that are available to you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Remember, the Bible said faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So the more details of God's word you can accumulate, the more sound your faith can stand. Are you listening to me? The detail of God's word is what determines the capacity of your faith. So faith is not just I believe. We said faith is in levels. Faith is not just in levels. We said faith is in compartments. So you can build your faith in one area while another area is depleted. The detail determines the tenacity. I think one of the problems of Peter was the word come he heard. He had enough faith to walk on water, but not while the wind was blowing. Are you listening to me? That word carried enough energy to stand in the wind and stand on the water. But what he had collected from the word, you see, every word is more pregnant than what you have collected from it. What he had collected from the word was come on the water. Jesus did not say come on the water. Jesus said come. Is that true?
Yes.
What did Jesus say to him? Come. Peter said, I want to come on the water. So as far as Peter was concerned, that word come only concerned water. But as far as Jesus was concerned, it concerned water and wind. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So the detail you extract from God's word determines the stability of your faith. Your faith is only as stable as the details you extract. That is why never get satisfied with any scripture from which you have found a revelation. Because inside that scripture is more than what you have seen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Somebody asked me today, he looked at my Bible and began to ask me questions, because my Bible is properly read. It's for reading. Is that not true?
Yeah.
And he looked at my Bible and he saw a page. He said, oh, sir, is this a new Bible? I said, no, it's not. It's the Bible I started using at a certain point during the year. He said, okay, because I'm surprised. Every time I see your Bible, there is marks everywhere. I said, it's true. But I have a principle. Once I have read through and marked practically everything, I change it. The reason is that I write many things in my Bible, and when I'm reading it again, I don't want to see what I wrote before. Because inside what I read before is something I've not seen before.
Wow.
And if I can pull what I have not seen before, I will manifest what I have not manifested before. Because the stability of your faith is determined by the detail of your revelation. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Is determined by the detail of your revelation. So the detail of your revelation is what gives stability to your faith. Stability to your faith. Stability to your faith. So faith is not faith. It's in levels. Faith is not faith. It is in compartments. Faith is not faith. No, it's in details. So it is what you know about what God has said that matters to the situation that determines your triumph. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's not when you are facing life and death, you'll be quoting the Lord shall supply all my needs. There is another light you need to conquer death. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yeah. So there, you must understand that the detail you are able to extract from God's word is what determines the stability of your faith. And yesterday we began to extract some of the details about what your potential is. Is that not true? And we said in John 3:8, he said that everyone that is born of God or born of the Spirit is like the wind, can go anywhere it wants. Nothing can stop it. So we said by potential, every child of God is unstoppable. Every child of God, you know, is not resistible. So what resists you is not because of your capacity, it's because of your faith. Are you listening to me? Mountains don't grow, but faith grows.
Yeah.
You can look at a mountain that beat you yesterday and beat you today by growing your faith. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So what you confront is not the reason for your failure. No. It is faith that is the reason for failure. So what will be responsible for your success in the future will be the development of your faith. Because your faith grows, then no matter what defeated you yesterday, you are set to defeat it today. You understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
I said you understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
This is very important. This is very important. So we saw it very clearly that your faith in that detail of redemption, which makes you like a wind, makes you unstoppable in the battles of life. But I'd like us to see another detail of what redemption did for you today. And I believe that this detail will help us in the pursuit of life and destiny. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 11. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. It said, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Now we see not all things yet put under him." This is talking about man, God's original creation plan for man. And verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." And he said in verse 10, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." Now look at verse 11 very closely. "For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." This is what that scripture means. God created man to be in dominion. Man has a dominion mandate. But he said, we don't see man in dominion. But we saw Jesus, who came as an example of dominion. His assignment was to bring many sons into glory, which is the realm of dominion. And he said, now him that sanctified and those that are sanctified, they are all of one. Equal. Not equal in hierarchy, but equal in authority. They are all of one, whereby he is not afraid to call them brethren. What we see from there is that the capacity of Jesus was made available for you. Hello? All right, let's move on. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 to 24. We know the scripture. "But you are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." This is talking about the church, isn't it? "An innumerable company of angels," he said, "to the general assembly of the and the church of the firstborn." I believe it's the New Living Translation that calls it the church of God's firstborn children. God's firstborn children. Not the firstborn church, but God's firstborn children. God doesn't have secondborn. Any capacity that Jesus manifested on the earth, permit my language, is manifestable by you. The church is a community of God's firstborn capacity children.
Amen.
Jesus came as an example of the dominion available to you. To be stranded is an abuse on redemption. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To be frustrated is an insult on your recreation. Because you are one of God's firstborn children. If Jesus can't be stranded, why you? If Jesus can't fail, why you? It's a waste of capacity. It's an abuse of divine ability. Because the church is the church of God's first. You see, until you believe this thing, you'll be stranded on the earth. It is the church of God's firstborn children. Christianity is not a registration in failure. No.
Hallelujah.
Christianity is not a registration in frustration. No, that devil is a bastard. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No. It is the community of God's firstborn children. Stop acting like an illegitimate child of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's firstborn children. God has no second born. In fact, even among twins, there's one born first and the other one born second.
That's right.
But everyone is first.
Yes.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you getting what I'm saying now? Yes. And so don't live as if you are a below standard afterthought child. One that God forgot to plan for. God will help understanding. Now, that will now make you understand why Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, because he's just like me. And greater works shall he do, because I don't have enough time to be here. So if Jesus in 33 years so devastated, now you can't live 120 years and then be so frustrated. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Tell me one assignment Jesus failed on. Not one. Tell me one time Jesus was stranded. Not one. Why? He knew the capacity that was loaded inside him. Do you know what is in you? Do you know the capacity that's in you? They said, we want to stone you because you are saying you are God. You being a man, you are making yourself equal with God. So I said, did you not hear? Did you not hear? He said, ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. He said, and the scripture cannot be broken. If you want to be frustrated, it's your business. But for me, I know. He said, ye are gods unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scripture cannot be broken. That's John 10, I think, 34 to 36. He said, if you want to be frustrated, that's your business. But for me, I understand my placement. In Psalm 82, verse 5 to 7, he said, I have said, ye are gods, all of you children of Mosiah. He said, but you die like men and fall like the princes. Why? In verse 5, he said, they know not, neither will they understand. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said you are gods. I've said you are in charge. But you are acting as if you are under subjection. He said, put all things in subjection to them. Say with me, I have a dominion mandate.
I have a dominion mandate.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. By redemption, you have a dominion mandate. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody's story is changing.
Yeah.
Now, Moses went into Egypt and God had to address his mentality. He said in Exodus chapter 7 verse 1, see, I have made you a god to Pharaoh. Don't go there as if you are his mate. I have made you a god to Pharaoh. Are you listening to me? Don't go there as if you are toiling with a fellow. You are not on the same plateau. I have made you a god to Pharaoh. That demon toying with you is not your mate. It's only playing on your intelligence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's only playing on your intelligence. He said, I have made you. If you make yourself something else, that's your business. But I made you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Your story must change. I said your story must change. This is so important. It is this dominion mandate that we are really looking at how to exhibit. I told you that the third day, we are going to look at destroying the works of the devil. But that takes the dominion mandate first. Understanding your recreated self and how to manifest it. So let's begin to look tonight at destroying the works of the devil. Destroying the works of the devil. We have said so far that your life as a believer is supposed to be a walk of faith. If you are walking in faith, then you'll be manifesting your potential. We have established that already. If you are manifesting your potential, then you'll be manifesting like Christ. Because our potential was exhibited in Christ. Is that not so? All right, so the way we saw Christ manifest is how we should. So the Bible said, "What looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the initiator and the conclusion of our faith, or the example of the exhibition of what we can be if we believe." Are you listening to what I'm saying? So Christ is that example. Now, when we look at the ministry of Christ, we saw that one of the major ways Christ manifested, 1 John 3:8, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil." Not work, works. Anywhere the devil is walking, he went there to destroy it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? For this purpose. Now, and the Bible said that the whole of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The Son of God manifested by destroying the works of the devil. Therefore, the sons of God must also manifest by destroying the works of the devil. So your potential is exhibited in the demonstration of heaven's dominion on the earth. Your capacity to demonstrate the dominion of heaven on the earth. If you're understanding that, say aloud, amen.
Amen.
I said, if you're understanding that, say aloud, amen.
Amen.
If we look at the life of Jesus in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says that he went everywhere doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. So everywhere Jesus was going, what was he doing? Taking out the oppressions of the devil, the works of the devil, destroying them. If it was sickness, he destroyed it. Whatever it is, he was destroying the works of the devil wherever he went. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and verse 15, he said, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that he through death may destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." May destroy him. Not only his works, he was attacking the person. May destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. "And he will also deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Jesus was attacking the personality behind the bondage, and the bondage the personality brought. So whether it was the affliction or whether it was the very presence of the demonic personality, Jesus was on the attack. Are you listening to what I'm saying? "And if I, like Jesus, am one of his firstborn children, then where I am, there should be no satanic operation." Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? Because if I believe in who I am, then there should be a real manifestation of who I am. If you understand that, say amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So that's why Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, you have an enemy." The devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking for whom he may devour. When we read that scripture, we tend to think the devil is looking to eat somebody, so run. But no. I never saw any one of the apostles run. So he was clearly not talking about, since the devil is going around like a roaring lion, then run. No.
He said, be sober and be what?
Vigilant.
I'm sorry, I'm going to use a kind of language that many of you will not understand. But you will get it when I explain it. Where I come from, there's a group of people, they call them vigilante. Now, they don't run from a thief. If you come as a thief and they catch you, they execute the law without a court. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's not everywhere that you have a proper legal system. Where I come from, the system is there, but it's not proper. So if you are caught, they will so... if you come out alive, you must do Thanksgiving. Because they will so deal with you by reason of the fact that you were caught. So vigilance is not for running. It's for attacking. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So if he said, be sober and be vigilant, be on the lookout. Because somebody is looking for you. And in warfare, it is kill or be killed. Is that not true? So if somebody is looking for you, then you also must be there to devastate him. That's what, you see, you must carry that understanding. And he didn't say he's a lion, he said it looks like one. Like a roaring lion. Like a roaring lion. But the firstborn, he's called the lion of the tribe of Judah. If you are also a firstborn, what are you?
A lion.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? You are a lion. So you must understand your capacity. It looks like a lion, but it's not one. It's not one. There is not one scripture under heaven that describes the devil as a lion. But Jesus is described as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is the firstborn son. And we are the congregation of the firstborn children. So how can a dog that looks like a lion kill a lion that is really a lion? Since when did lions start eating grass? You see, wake up to the reality of who you are.
Yes, sir.
Who you are. Somebody's story here must change. Now hear this, Obadiah, verse 21, the Bible tells us, saviors will arise from Mount Zion. So Zion is the mountain for the raising of saviors. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Jesus saved you to make you a savior to your generation. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yeah. So the church is not the gathering of failures. It's the gathering of saviors. It's gathering of what?
Savior.
It's the gathering of saviors. There are many of you here that the key that will turn the history of your family is what God is putting in your hand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because that affliction and that attack, that negative sequence of events, it's time for you to rise up and say enough. No more. Satan, you have had your time. Now I'm in charge. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is so important. That's why the Bible said that we come to a point where it says that we will become eternal excellencies. The joy of many generations. Hear me and hear me very well. There comes a point that what you do will redefine the meaning of your family name.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What comes out of your life.
Yes.
I heard my father say this some months ago. He said, what is in a name? It's not the meaning of the name. There are names that you don't know the meaning. But there is a person that has given the name a meaning.
Yes.
Let me use a negative side. Who knows the meaning of Osama bin Laden?
Does anybody here know the meaning? Do you know the meaning? But when I say Osama bin Laden, something registered in your head. What registered in your head?
Terror.
So the meaning is now terror. Because of the owner. Is that true? Your name can have a literal meaning, but your life can redefine the meaning. And I'm here to say to somebody that in the coming year, there are people here that will positively redefine their name. If you are the one I'm talking to, shout a loud amen. You see, you have to wake up and realize these are the realities of kingdom existence. These are the realities of kingdom existence. Say with me, I will not be frustrated. I'm going to make you angry today. Because you must go back and teach. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must come to a point where you go back and teach principality letters. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must come to that point. When I'm at home, sometimes I sit down in prayer and I say, every principality, hear me. I didn't come here to struggle with you. Every principality, hear me. Every demonic altar, hear me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. I can't be talking and an enchanter is talking. It's an abuse on who I am. It's an abuse on who I am. I have made you a god to Pharaoh, not a struggler with Pharaoh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must get angry. All these little challenges that are holding your leg and demons toying with your destiny. Enough is enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. No. Satan was not a child of God. He was an angel. Are they not ministering spirits? He said, know ye not that the sons of God shall judge angels? What are you talking about? You who is a judge of an angel, now a demoted angel is harassing you. Shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. Something must change. And it's going to change in a hurry. And it's going to change now. Let me show you more of your dominion mandate. Romans chapter 16 verse 20. And God will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Bruise who?
Satan.
Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20 and verse 21. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 20 and verse 21. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and raised and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And look at verse 21. Far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name. How many names? Every name. How many names? Every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. Ephesians 2 verse 5 and verse 6. And he has seated us together with him in heavenly places. Where is that? Far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named. You are seated there with him. There is no name that is big enough to become a harassment to your destiny. Your life is not at the mercy of any big man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No. It's not. You are not at the mercy of any big name. Every name that is named. Every name that is named. Whether in heaven or whether it is in the world that is to come. Whether it's created or not yet created. Whether it's existing or not yet existing. Whether it's born or not yet born. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so there is no manufacturable demon that can handle you by redemption. It can only deceive you to be handled. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you getting angry little by little?
Yes.
How is the kingdom of God manifested? He said, if I through the finger of God cast out devils, the kingdom of God is come unto you.
Yes.
If I come and cast out means chase out. Cast out means throw out. Evict. Move without comfort. Belief movement. Yeah. If I, through the finger of God, cast out, push you out without your willingness. Move you out whether you agree or not. If I, through the finger of God, cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. And what did he say? The kingdom of God is inside you. So if the kingdom of God is inside you and I come somewhere with what is inside me, then what is inside that environment is bound to move out. Why? Because if I came understanding that inside me is the kingdom of God, then I am a mobile instrument. Everywhere I go, the devil is bound to go out. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm a mobile weapon. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You see, when a plane, a jet, fighter jet is flying, it is not only for transportation, it is also a war weapon. You are not only the transportation of the kingdom, you are also a deploying instrument. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So, any direction you look at is danger. Anywhere you are pointing at is what? Is danger. Danger. When you see a warplane moving in a direction, where smoke should come out of a normal plane, bullets are flying out. True? Yeah. Because not only for transportation.
Yes.
It is carrying somebody, but it's also moving something. And if you decide to be against what it is moving, then what it is carrying will also be deployed in your direction. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you getting something now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the Bible said that you and I, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are to represent the interests of God on the earth. So it means that wherever the interest of God is being abused, you are God's instrument to destroy the abuser of God's interest. True? So wherever you go, you are to install the dominion of God and uninstall the oppressions of the devil. Are you getting my point now? It's not for pastors, it's for every Christian. Are you hearing me? It's for every Christian. See what the Lord told Saul, Paul, when he got saved. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Acts 26 and verse 18. God described his assignment to him. He said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to the power of God. Huh? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Anytime you are saving a soul, whether the devil likes it or not, your job is to take him from the power of Satan. Put him under the dominion of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes.
So which means that you are breaking the back of the power of the devil. Even in winning a soul. So your natural oppression is actually a devastation to the devil if you know who you are. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm trying to get you tonight to recognize your faith is not just for you. Your faith is to activate something in you that affects your generation.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is at the door.
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know that I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again. Jesus, come into my life. be my Lord and Savior. Take control of me from this day forward. Now I know that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I pray for you, Father. I thank you today for these precious ones you have drawn into your kingdom. Let the grace that has brought them keep them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each one of them, we decree today that the barriers against their life and destiny be broken in the name of Jesus. Grace to walk with you all the days of their lives. Release it upon them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say aloud, amen.
If you have just received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or were blessed through this broadcast, we would love to hear from you. For inquiries and testimonies, send an email to info@tglmedia.org. We also invite you to visit one of our Winners Chapel churches near you anywhere around the world. Until next time, keep walking in the great light.